Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Oh my gosh, you guys, you're in for such a treat. I have Stephanie here today, and Stephanie is the founder of Austin Fowler. So we're going to be talking about that, but I thought this would be so great for us to be recording this podcast interview. One, because Stephanie's been following Organize 365 for a long time, so she has her own organizing story to share, but also she's using the time that she found to do what she's uniquely gifted and created to do, which is start Austin Fowler. And I know a lot of you are writing books and launching businesses, and you are where Stephanie is on your organizing journey. So since I knew Stephanie, knew about the company, I thought this would be an awesome conversation to have from beginning to end. Stephanie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Lisa. I am so excited to be here. As you mentioned, I've been following you for years now, so it's a little bit surreal to actually be on your podcast. So thank you for having me.
That's so funny. I don't even know how you first found me. How did you find Organize 365?
Okay, so I was trying to kind of go through that in my mind. And what stands out is I think I had seen something on Pinterest, whether you guys pinned it or someone else. I think I had seen a pin about the Sunday basket. And I thought, what is a Sunday basket? You know, and that intrigued me enough to click through, go to your website. I found your podcast. Once I found the podcast, that was it. So I would listen to you on the way to work, on the way home, when running errands. And then, you know, after a while, got started on a Sunday basket, a workbox, and now it's just such a non-negotiable in my routine that I could never go back. So it just kind of, you know, listening to you, you have such a different way of explaining organizing, not just for your space, but your time and all that stuff, which I'm sure we'll get into. And that just intrigued me as a working mom. So that's how I found you, kind of an odd way, but I'm so glad I did.
Yeah, so funny because I became aware of you and Austin Fowler back in the spring when I was launching the book, and you reached out and you said, hey, I'd love to give you a Briggs bag and raffle one off for your book launch day, which was so much fun. Thank you so much for that. Since then, I've gotten a backpack. I've already ordered the packing cubes. Whenever I'm allowed to get out of the city and get out there and see everyone and hug everyone, I am like planned. I like tell Stephanie all the time, okay, well, I'm adding to my packing collection. Like, you guys, I am so ready to hit the road and travel the United States and eventually the world and see all of you as soon as that opens up. And I love what you're creating in Austin Fowler. So that's how I got to know you, is because you reached out to me with a giveaway. So,
Yeah, that was so fun.
So tell us, first we have to know who's in your family, who lives with you.
Okay, well, it's a full house. So my husband, Vince, we met in college. So we've been together 18 years, married for 10. We have four kids, three boys and a girl. So our oldest, Duke, is 9. Boy-girl twins that are 7, Blake and Blair. And then our youngest little guy, Reagan, who keeps us on our toes. He's our youngest son. So it is a full house.
I didn't know you had twins. I knew you had four kids, but I didn't know there were twins in there. How fun. I always wanted twins. Well, I always wanted any baby, but twins also. Yes. When we were doing infertility, I was like, oh, twins, triplets. And Greg was like, oh my gosh, no.
Twins was challenging for us. So triplets, I admire those women for sure. So
now, you said when you found Organize 365, you were a working mom. Mm-hmm. Were you working in Austin Fowler? Were you working in Austin Fowler plus something else? Like, what were you doing for work?
So when I found you, I was working full-time as a corporate executive. I was the vice president of finance and operations for a company here in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. And I was just at a point where I was overwhelmed. I had not started Austin Fowler at that point, but I knew I kind of had that inkling that I wanted to start something. But just managing everything at work and at home, I thought, how do people do this? Little details like signing permission slips. When do you do that? Do you do it as soon as it comes in the door? So I was looking for a system, although I didn't know that at the time. I was working full time at that time and just trying to manage it all at home.
I will say, I don't know how you do it, because I used to, when I was doing creative memories, I would have some corporate executives that would come on the Friday night to the workshops, and I would just stand next to them and I'd be like, how do you do things during the day? How do you get things done? Because I was a stay-at-home mom. Like, I worked from home, but my schedule has always, my entire life, been around my kids, flexible earning around my kids. So I don't really know. You do a full-time job and you have four kids.
Well, you know what though? I honestly, that's where your podcast became really valuable for me, is because I use those pockets of time. So, you know, I would try to condense my workday. Eventually I'd gotten to, you know, working 4/10 so that I could have my Friday off to do errands or things with the kids. But if I was running somewhere over lunch, I stacked my errands like you always advise. I made my phone calls back to back. I would have a list of like 5 phone calls and I would try to make those. So anytime I had a pocket of time, that's when I really tried to max those out and be as efficient as I could with those.
You just sound like a very organized person. Like, were you organized before you had kids?
Yes and no, but it seemed a lot easier at that time, right? You know, you think you have got this under control until kids come and it blows up a little bit. But I actually remember very early on, soon after Vince and I were married, just Googling, how do you organize your home? How do you manage your home? And I would stumble across some people and they would get you so far, you know, so they would talk to you about decluttering and establishing certain routines. And that was good for me to establish a foundation. And when you would keep going, you would find people who would help you organize this gorgeous closet. But what I felt like I was still missing was, how do I handle all the other pieces? How do I, you know, manage all the papers coming home from school? How do I know, do I open the mail every day? Do I just pay a bill as soon as I get it? Just little details like that. I was just craving a system and I didn't realize it.
Okay. So you started listening to the podcast. Did you make a Sunday basket on your own? Did you just buy a Sunday basket? How did you start with that?
Yep. So I started a Sunday basket on my own and it morphed into a few versions because I thought, well, let me try this first, you know, because I had tried other kind of systems where they were more filing systems and I tried things and those didn't really work. So I thought, well, let me just try this and see if this works. And it worked so well that I didn't, you know, I never stopped. And then I've heard you say so many times, you have to do it every Sunday. And so I just made that part of my routine. And like I said before, it was just a non-negotiable, you know, no matter how busy I was, I carved out that time Sunday afternoon to process through everything. And it just helped. I never had that feeling anymore of things were slipping through the cracks. And that was always a fear of mine before. You know, I wanted to do so well in my corporate job. I also wanted to be an incredible mother and wife. But there's so many roles and so many actionable items that you have with those that you need a system to process through it every week. And then your mind can kind of rest too. So you're not worrying about, what am I forgetting this week? You know?
Yeah. You know, I found the theme in the last couple of Wednesday podcasts that I've interviewed have been more about this planning your week, creating systems, less about even organizing your house. Like, I'm selling a system that will organize your house, but people are telling me, yeah, well, that happens, but that's not what I get out of Organize 365. Like, what I get out of Organize 365 is you teach me how to think differently about everything that gets organized, and I become a more productive thinker and systems-based thinker. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the home organization is key, especially for me. I can't handle clutter. It creates kind of this chaos and, you know, unsettled feeling in my mind. So that is important, that home organization piece. But you just take it a huge step further in reframing the thinking and then, you know, managing the time and just the lessons on stacking your errands. Yeah. You know, I boxered you the other day and I told you I had the perfect Lisa day. I took last Friday off. I had so many errands that I had to do. We had just finished up some home renovation projects and I needed to go buy some stuff, return some stuff, pick some stuff up. And so I just stacked them and I went from furthest and working my way back to the house. And that was such a peace of mind and a burden lifted when I was done with that. And that's not something I would have ever come up with on my own. And it's not a system that you see most, you know, organizational experts talking about. So it's so much more than home organization. I think that's a key component, But having a new mindset is such a valuable piece of it as well.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the problem in home organization or productivity in general. Like if you are an expert in organization and productivity, there aren't a lot of things to sell.
Yes.
And if there aren't a lot of things to sell, like where you earn an income, then how do you sustain a business if there aren't new products to buy? Like mm-hmm. most companies are set up on, you need to buy more. Like if you buy makeup, you run out, you need to buy more. If you buy scrapbooking supplies, you run out, you need to buy more. And our company is not set up that way. Like, and mm-hmm. every business advisor comes in, they say, you need a recurring revenue model. You need things that people will buy again. I'm like, well, you really don't need very much. You need four binders, a Sunday basket, and the 100-day program. That's all you need. And they said, well, you're going to have customers that come in, buy that, and then leave, and then they won't keep buying. And I said, right. And they're like, no, that's not how businesses work. I'm like, well, that's how this business works. Once you've learned the skills, you'll tell other people and more people will come. I said, yes. I would rather impact more people and have more people purchase Sunday baskets than have the same person buying organizational things month after month or year after year. And as a teacher, I could not create a company where you needed to just keep buying things in order to stay organized. I wanted to teach you the transformation of organization. Like that's what a teacher wants to do. They want you to internalize it and take it and apply it and move on. But when you're doing that and you want to grow a company, you have to think about how are you going to monetize that. And I think that's why a lot of organizing companies don't work as well, because they're trying to figure out how to make it profitable in selling a product. And really it's a mindset and a lifestyle is what you get out of getting organized.
Yep. Yep. Well, and I think, you know, with Organize 365 too is, you know, why I always came back is it's the information, it's the continual learning. I mean, clearly you are a teacher because that's just, it's just value going out every single week on the podcast. And, you know, you might think, okay, I'm on a good path now. And then you listen to another podcast or you read the paper solution and you think there was, you know, even if there's a few key pieces in those, those can make a huge transformation in your life. So while you don't need to buy products, it's your knowledge we keep coming back for, you know, and any way you want to monetize that, I will be first in line.
Well, I'm thinking a radio show, people. That's what I'm thinking. So if anybody has any ideas, I'm actually talking to the local radio people in Cincinnati to see about a call-in show. So if anybody wants to hit me up with what I need to do next, I have no idea. I'm just, you know me, I'm just like, oh, I'll just go down this rabbit trail now and figure it out.
That's so fun.
So Stephanie, four kids, I believe they're schooling from home now, right?
Yes.
So how has the pandemic affected your organization?
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, as I mentioned, I've always liked an organized home, but I think you just realize how crucial it is when you're at home all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, we were a family before who loved being at home, but we were also very busy with kids' activities. And so we've had to realize that we need to adjust the space and make it much more functional for our current reality and how we're currently using the space. So we carved out, obviously, a space for our kids to do distance learning. Unfortunately, to my husband's dismay, I've given him a long list of projects. He created mudroom lockers for us, which seemed simpler in my mind. It wasn't so simple once you did it. But, you know, just organizing your space so that you have more room to breathe and function so that it goes a lot smoother. But I think setting up systems in your home too has just been key for us. And I relied so much more on the systems I already had in place too, just to keep us all sane. You know, it can get cluttered and messy so easy. So just keeping up on all that and rethinking things when they're not working.
Yeah, I think the more that we're just willing to go with it, I mean, we're going to go into winter now here in the United States with our kids at home, you know, more of our holiday and things that we do for fun are not going to happen the way they have in the past. And the more you can just say, hey, it's just 1 year. Let's hope it's just 1 year. It's just 1 year. We're just going to go with it. We're just going to pivot. We're going to change. It doesn't mean forever. It just means for right now and not trying to make everything so permanent. I think before the pandemic, I was trying to get organized so I could check it off the list so that this could be done. And I have said that organization is a journey. It's never done, but you can get it like 95% of the way done in this phase of life. And then you'll hit a new phase of life and you'll have to reorganize. I just feel like the pandemic is perpetual phases. Like you're back to having babies again. And when you have babies, every 3 months, they're in a new diaper size, a new food, a new toys, a new development. I feel like the pandemic has us all feeling like we're raising infants or baby puppies, where you have to every 3 months say, okay, now what are we going to eat? Now, how are we going to play? Now, how are we going to live? Now, how? And the more you give yourself the flexibility of just rearranging the house. Look, your kids are very resilient. If you let them watch movies on your floor on a sheet each night for the whole month of December, they're not going to feel like they can watch movies in your room for the rest of their lives. Right. That was a special pandemic December thing that you did. And you can even frame it that way. Like, because of the pandemic, we are going to do this this winter and only this winter, so that next year you can go back to whatever your rules were, like food only in the kitchen or whatever those rules were. But give yourself the permission to create new rules during this time will allow you to enjoy your house and your family more.
Yes. I love that. I love the idea of not having it be kind of a fixed permanent system, because if the pandemic has taught us anything, it's flexibility. I mean, if you want to stay sane, you have to be flexible, and adjusting your home and your schedules and routines is needed. I feel like every week I'm stopping to think, okay, what worked well last week? What was kind of a pain point for us, whether it was in our morning routine with the kids or when we're kind of shutting down for school, what do we need to tweak? And hopefully it just gets a little better every week.
Yeah. And just think about all of the skills that they're developing. I mean, the kids are developing. We think about all of the things that the kids have lost during the pandemic. There are so many things that they're gaining and growing and being exposed to that they would have never been exposed to before that will impact them for the positive in the future as well. So take it all with a grain of salt. Take a deep breath. Everything's going to be just fine.
That's right. Exactly. I love that.
So you are not working full time as in the finance industry anymore. Are you still working part-time outside of the home?
Yes. So we have a kind of a unique situation right now. So we have been building Austin Fowler. I started it while I was still at my full-time job. So I would do it in the evenings after the kids went to bed, because I didn't want it to take away from family time. So there were years where I literally stayed up till 12, one in the morning, just building this business, you know, someday it will get easier. And it has. And about 2 years ago, I stepped away from that. My parents have about a 35 person company in here in the Twin Cities, and their CFO had retired. So they needed a part-time CFO to step in. So then I said, okay, perfect. You know, I need a lot more time to grow Austin Fowler. So I am doing part-time CFO work for them. Most of my time is spent on Austin Fowler. My husband's full-time on Austin Fowler.
Oh, wow.
So it's interesting managing kind of the two different roles. It's like, okay, today I am a CFO today. And then, you know, the next day I'm CEO of Austin Fowler. But obviously, you know, when it's your business, that never stops and it's all consuming. But I love it for now. But Austin Fowler is definitely growing too fast, where we'll have to rearrange things again, right? Be flexible again.
We love the growing too fast. That is what I want to hear. That's why I want to hear that you have stress. So 5 years ago, I know you just had your birthday sale, your birthday anniversary. Yes. 5 years ago, why did you start a bag company? Working full time, you've got babies. Like, I don't know, let's just start a company.
I was just bored, you know?
Yeah, well.
No, it's not my background at all. So I am a CPA, I have my MBA. So clearly design is nowhere in my background. But what I was frustrated with is, you know, we are a very active family. We like to go out and about, more so pre-COVID. And I wanted a diaper bag at that time that kept me organized on the go. But I wanted something that could also double as a work bag, but not look like a diaper bag. You know, you don't want to carry something in that isn't really congruent with kind of your image as an executive. So I wanted something chic and professional that kept me organized. And I just was looking and I could not find anything on the market. So the more we started looking, my husband and I just decided, you know what, let's try this. Let's just start designing the bag. Right? I don't know any of the terms or any
famous
of the industry.
Last words.
Yeah. So we just kept taking the next step. And at that time it started when we started selling to the market. We took the first year just to research and get our samples made. When we started selling to the market, he closed down his photography business that he had had for 10 years, stopped coaching and went all in on this and just started coming up with what I would have wanted Because I figured, you know, if I'm looking for this and couldn't find it, there's got to be other people that are in the same boat. So yeah, that's how we brought it to market. And it's just grown wonderfully. And I love our community. And it's just been such a blessing and a fun journey.
So I love to hear why companies name their companies what it is. And I scoured your website. I was like, I have got to figure out why this is named Austin Fowler. So tell us, why is it called Austin Fowler?
Yes. Okay. So Austin represents, that's my main name. That represents the style, the kind of classic chic style that I always loved before I got married, you know, that always resonated with me. And then Fowler is my married name. And that is the functionality, the organization and simplicity you crave as a wife and a mother. So it's just Austin Fowler is really kind of the melding of the two. You know, and our big thing is you shouldn't have to sacrifice functionality and organization for style. You shouldn't have to pick one or the other. You can find both.
Yeah, I love that. And I know, you know, I used to sell baby equipment before I became a mom. So I know all about baby equipment and I love bags. Like I know all about all the different kinds of bags, and your bags, they have so much functionality, and they're great as baby bags, but they're great as functional. If you want to take them into a corporate setting, they're great for travel, which is how I'm going to use them, but they're also nice to hand off to a husband. I mean, parenting is much more shared today. Stephanie, you have it way different than I did when I raised my children. So my husband, we had a Navy baby bag, so he would carry it, but it obviously was the baby bag that he handed to me to take with the baby. That's not how it is anymore. Like these awesome backpacks that you have totally will work from birth all the way through, you know, age 12 on the soccer field. Like people are not going to outgrow these bags.
Well, and it's so funny because I really started out designing them more as diaper bags, but that had that classic style. But we morphed pretty quickly into work bags, travel bags, because we just saw one that it was resonating with women of all ages. Many of the women that purchase our bags over and over do not even have children, you know, and I wanted a bag that was versatile enough to use for so many purposes, you know, and if you use it this year for a diaper bag, then you can use it next year as a work bag and no one would ever know the difference. So that's really what we try to pack into all of our bags is just that functionality and versatility. And I think the overriding theme in all of our bags is just like a classic style. Again, not anything that will go out of style in 2 years. It's not trendy. I'm not a trendy person. I just love classic style. So I hope that simplifies it for people too, because you can kind of build your collection and know that you can use it 3 years from now too.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So we connected during the book launch and, you know, I love Voxer. Everybody knows I love Voxer. So I have a relationship with Tara in the UK and I have a couple of friends around the United States. We have like an informal mastermind of these groups. And I was watching you on Instagram and everything you were doing. And I was like, oh, I wonder if she'd be my Voxer friend. So I emailed you.
Yeah.
I emailed you because you're a product business owner. Yeah. You're growing. I love your product. I love what you're doing. And it's really hard. I think more as a female owner than not a female owner, but a female product business owner to find other female product business owners that are growing. Like there are a couple of people in the Organized 365 audience who have businesses and they will message me and they'll be like, okay, good move getting the new warehouse. Now make sure you do this in the next warehouse. Do this. I'm like, yes, tell me all the things. Yes. When I come to Texas, I will be viewing your warehouse and you know who you are because I want to see what you're doing with your son's company. And I just want to go see warehouses. That's all I want to do is go and visit warehouses. And I told you before we started recording, I'm already thinking about buying and building my next warehouse 3.5 years from now. So now I'm watching YouTube videos of people's warehouses and how they set them up. So we do Voxer back and forth a little bit. There are a couple of people in Cincinnati that have businesses that I do that with as well. How has the pandemic affected Austin Fowler?
Well, quite a few ways. I think, first off, it could have been a very disastrous year for us, you know, because you think, well, people aren't really going anywhere. Why do they need a bag? But we really focused one on connecting with our community right away, trying to help them understand what they could control in an environment where everything seems like it's out of your control. So an organized bag, that is something you can control. And you still have to go places. So one, just our communication piece with our community. Secondly, stockpiling inventory. And I know you and I have talked about this, but really making sure we have on hand what we need. You know, the supply chain all over has been disrupted with this, regardless of what industry you're in. So we wanted to make sure we had inventory on hand. We wanted to make sure we had all of our shipping supplies. So we really stepped forward and took that financial risk and thought, okay, we think this is a safe bet because we're really growing. So we think this will support it. But ultimately, you don't know what's going to happen, you know, in the economy 6 months from now. But we felt that was a wise decision for us. And it turns out it has been because we're even blowing through that a lot faster than we expected. So I think, you know, where some companies are pulling back, we're actually expanding. We're getting more space. We're investing a lot more in our materials and just making sure that we have everything we need on hand to continue to service our customers, even if everything continues to get disrupted. So that's really how we've been preparing for it.
Yes, I remember when the pandemic happened and we had the stay-at-home order put in place, I had just signed for the new warehouse. Yep. And I was like, how do I get out of this? How do I stay in the smaller one? And my CFO said, are you crazy? You need to move sooner. Like, stop this. You're going to be fine. I'm like, no. The sky is falling. He's like, knock it off. You're going to be fine. So we had our new Sunday basket design arrive in June. But before that arrived, we already reordered the same quantity. So another 2,500 that were coming in August. And before those even arrived, we placed the order of the most recent colors that we just got. And I have taken all of our profits and poured them into inventory. Yeah. And as I was doing that, we had put up all these extra shelving units in the warehouse. We've now doubled the amount of shelving units. And in late summer, now by then, you know, companies like ours who are servicing people at home, we knew that we were doing fine and our employees were going to be fine. I started projecting ahead because I finally could. Like, it was the end of July when I could think more than 2 weeks in advance. And I started seeing 3 months, 6 months, 12 months in advance. And I thought to myself, this isn't going to work. Like, just how you saw toilet paper run out and you saw cleaning supplies run out. And I had said in planning day back in April, like, get an above ground pool, get bike supplies, get outdoor stuff for your kids. And then the next week that was all sold out. Like, I'm able to see just far enough ahead to prepare. And I thought to myself, I want to have in hand everything that I need so that my supply chain doesn't break before I ship it out to customers. Anything I need, we're going to pour all of our money into. And I remember voxing you, this is probably a month ago. Yep. And I said, Stephanie, I know this is really crazy, but here's what I'm doing. And I literally have 80 weeks worth of Sunday baskets in my warehouse. And I said, I just think that more of the supply chain is going to break over the winter than not. And business moves really, really slow. Yeah. So the fact that we ran out of toilet paper in week one in the pandemic is on the consumer side. When you get into manufacturing and industry side, like, that is a lagging indicator. Like, those things break, or when they break in the future, you will see a recession. So whatever happens in manufacturing, you see on the consumer side, you know, I don't know. You have an MBA, you would know, but I intuitively know it's like 6 months to 18 months later, whatever happens in manufacturing will happen in the consumer side. And we were seeing the reverse of that. Like, everything that's happened with the pandemic economically is the reverse of what would normally happen in a recession. So I placed even more orders. We have something fun coming out in January. So I ordered it way in advance. And you were like, okay, I'm going to order more product too. And then I was like, oh no, did I just like make her go into debt over some idea? And then you boxed me back and you said, we're stockpiling corrugated cardboard. And I was like, I didn't think about corrugated cardboard. So to Vanessa, get more corrugated cardboard boxes. And she said, we just talked to our supplier. They said they see no shortage of corrugated cardboard in the, I said, I don't care. Get more. We need more. And then we use postal service packaging supplies. Like, so we ship priority. And I have everybody on my team ordering the max amount we can deliver to all of our houses. And we're ferrying them over. We have so many rate A boxes. It's hilarious. And my son works at the warehouse. And so he has to take them out of my trunk every single week. He's like, we do not need any more rate A boxes. He's so mad. I say, look here, we need to stockpile. So we can't get them anymore. But I know as of this recording, we're recording this on election day, the Postal Service is maxed out. Like, eventually, they're not going to be able to send me rate A boxes And that's going to happen in December. And if I don't already have them, that's going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. And we're working on some things in January and February where we would need to ship a lot of things out. And so we need to have enough boxes. Like if, and so I'm using my credit card to buy corrugated boxes because I don't want the supply chain to end up. So if you're wondering what business owners are like, this is what it's like. Stephanie and I box this stuff back. We go, that's right. Maybe we also need tape.
That is the life of an entrepreneur, right? Like, let's see how many rolls of tape I can get, how much packing paper. It's well, and that reminds me so much. You know, we really operated from a very lean perspective mm-hmm. before, where we would kind of go just in time with our inventory. And we just realized we cannot do that. And like you said, when you sent me that Voxer, I talked to Vince and I said, this makes sense. We need to stock up. He said, yep, we're doing it.
So this non-MBA mom, we should listen to her.
Oh my gosh. But it's, you know, switching, you know, from more lean to more stockpiling at this point. Yes. But then also what we've been trying to do is anticipate how are people going to be either traveling, because we know that we'll come back at some point. How are people going to be traveling 6 months from now? Are they going to be going back into the office? What sort of products do they need from us to, mm-hmm. you know, help them kind of keep the calm composure that we want our customers to have when they're out and about? Because we know, you know, they're opening up. They may shut down, they'll open up again. People will have to be out and about. What do they need at that time? So like you said, just trying to kind of anticipate some of those needs. And so that's affecting our designs too, and what sort of products we're coming out with. So any plan that you made a year ago, you know, pre-COVID is probably a little bit out the window now, but that's kind of the exciting part of being an entrepreneur too, is you have that opportunity. You're not in a large corporation. You have the opportunity to pivot pretty quickly.
Yeah. And I think if you look at New Zealand and you look at Austria, who are both down to zero cases now because they did such extreme lockdown, they're now opening restaurants, they're opening movie theaters, they're opening all of that stuff up very quickly now that they're down to zero cases. I cannot even think of a way for the United States to get to zero cases because we just don't have that kind of an economy that we don't live that way. But yes, it will come back. Like you're going to need a bag. You're going to need all of these things again. Yes. And the other thing that I said early on in the pandemic was I always knew that minimalism was a phase and mm-hmm. stockpiling is a phase. And I'd read this book, The Fourth Turning, that talks about how it's an 80-year cycle and we had hit the height of minimalism. And I thought, well, there is no way people are going to go away from minimalism and want to stockpile anything. And then we ran out of toilet paper. I was like, oh, I see how people will go away from minimalism. But I was learning all the business books and I was figuring out lean manufacturing. And then I thought, oh, lean manufacturing is going to break too. Like we'll never go back to being as lean and Six Sigma as we were before. So I was like, great. I didn't never learned it. Now I don't even need to know because people are going to want to have a certain amount of stockpile on hand so that their supply chain doesn't break so that they can deliver on their goods. So just, these are the things that I think about all the time.
Oh, it's good. It helps you be much more strategic in your next moves. And because ultimately, I mean, if you don't have that product in hand, you can't, you know, give your customers what you know could be transformational to them. Mm-hmm. So it's really, you know, doing a disservice to them as well. So
what's been the most challenging in starting your own business?
Oh, gosh.
Sounds like it's just been fun and easy.
Right. You know, it's funny because it seems like it goes in phases depending on what year you're in. I would say since my husband and I work in the business together and he does not have a business background and I do, I in the beginning would talk to him, you know, like he was a coworker. And that lasted about 2 days until he said, this is not going to work. You know, so I think learning to work with your spouse, just like any other team member would be in a corporation. So that figuring out manufacturing, you know, industry terms, really having growing in your understanding of what common expectations are in the industry. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't even know, okay, is this an appropriate payment term? Is this a good price? I have nothing to gauge it off of. So as years go by, we can set benchmarks on that. And then I would say also, you know, since we do have younger kids, it's just figuring out how to balance the business and being a parent as well. what I love about growing a business is your kids are right there with you watching the whole thing. So they're seeing, you know, when you really have those victories and mom and dad are so excited, but they also see some of the mistakes we've made and how we have to work through it to fix it. But regardless, even when, you know, things are hard and we've made some mistakes, we're not giving up on that. So that's been, I think, so fun to see, and just the impact on them, how they'll say, you know, when I grow up, I'm going to start a business too. And I think, okay, mission accomplished, right? So, and also I think just understanding as an entrepreneur, you have to take risks. So yeah. What's an appropriate risk and what mm-hmm. is way out there that you've lost your marbles if you do that? And so I think we've gained confidence over time by taking risk and reevaluating and getting a better intuition for what's appropriate and what's not, but knowing that we're always going to have to step out there. And, you know, stockpiling inventory for a product-based business is a perfect example, because that's certainly not an inexpensive endeavor, but it's something that, you know, you get a sense for. We have a strong, loyal base, and understanding the future of the company is in your hands. When you work for a company, someone else is in charge of growing the business. But as an entrepreneur, you always have your foot on the gas. You know, and if it's not growing, that's your fault, and you're kind of the lid on your company. So those are a few of my lessons, but I could go on forever.
I totally feel that about being the lid on your company. Like, I invest in coaches and I invest in talking to people like you and seeking out other business owners or listening to podcasts. Or last weekend, I listened to 3 different books and just constantly growing and thinking and processing through, because if I do stop growing, then the company will stop growing, because I can, right now, I can only handle the size company that I have. And so if we're going to keep growing, I have to learn what's the difference between one of those flip up dock leveler things and the one that comes in over that you have to use a forklift with, which I learned today. The difference is if you're going to drive just a hand pallet jack over it or one of the little tow motors, which Vanessa really, really wants, as does Sherry. I looked it up. They're $20,000, Sherry and Vanessa. We're not getting this anytime soon, nor will it fit in our current size warehouse. They're like, we don't care. Next warehouse, we need this. You have to make sure it's big enough that we have a tow motor and I want to drive it. Okay.
We'll add that.
I have to pay for it though and get the insurance for it and all these other things that go along with that fun little, looks like a golf cart to you, item.
Yep. It's an expensive golf cart, right?
Yeah. And so here's what I'm looking at the back of warehouses I'm driving by. There's so many going up in Westchester, Ohio. There are there's a lot of development around us. And so there are different size warehouse doors, but they always pull the trucks up to the little warehouse doors that do not have an automatic garage door. But then there are these gigantic ones that have drive up ramps. What are you driving in there? I never see anything on those ramps. Those are the ones that are automatic. Do we even need those? And then I saw a warehouse that replaced that with windows. And I was like, that is brilliant. Then you have light coming into your warehouse, right?
Yes.
And how many of these do we really need? So anyways, either you're like, ooh, I always wondered what Lisa thought about, or you're like, oh boy, let's just keep her focused on the one thing. We don't need to know all these random Lisa thoughts.
That's a perfect example. As an entrepreneur, I mean, those are things 5 years ago, you didn't necessarily think you'd be an expert in warehouses, but you realized, well, to grow my business, now I need to deep dive into this.
Yep. Number one thing that 3 business owners told me in the last 3 months was, you should own your warehouse. You should not be leasing. I'm like, okay, great. How do we buy a warehouse? How do we build one? How big do I need it to be? What's it going to look like? So now this is what I'm doing. Anybody who has ideas, Lisa at organize365.com, send me videos, send me books, send me whatever. I will watch it.
All the resources.
Yes. So what's next for Austin Fowler? Can you give us any sneak peeks or anything? You just came out with so many new products. I don't know how you would give me any sneak peeks, but
I know. Well, new products. So we certainly have new products coming out. We had just released what we call everyday packing totes. So those are a set of 3 totes that can go in your handbag, work bag, diaper bag, all the things.
I ordered them.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I'm so excited. We get those in about a month, but those just really keep you organized on the go. So we're really adapting. That was one of my big items this week, was just to look at, like I had said, what products will our customers need in 6 months? And so changing what I originally had, you know, in motion to put in production, I'm changing that now. So new products, our community's been reaching out to us trying to figure out if there's a way to connect in person, which can be challenging with COVID. So we're throwing around ideas there. But really, we need to look at expanding our team this next year, which I know is something.
Is it just the two of you?
It's just the two of us. We use independent contractors. So, you know, we have people that we use for branding, people we use for photography. Even though Vince is a photographer, there's no time to do that anymore. So we've tried to tap into independent contractors as much as we can. But, you know, we've been trying to think, okay, who do we need to round out our team in 2021?
Yep.
And we know we're at the point where we'll need it. So that's kind of exciting for us. So we'll have some internal work, some external, you know, what our customers will see too, but it's just fun. It's fun to see the growth. It's fun to see how it evolves and changes. And
5 years in is when I hired Pat, my first, you know, part-time employee at the time. And then 3 years ago was when we had our first full-time.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're definitely at that point, and it definitely grows you.
It does. I know. Well, and
I mean, the like people are great. It's not because of the people. It's because of you, like letting go of tasks, letting go of responsibilities, valuing other people's inputs and letting them have a say. Like,
Well, and you know that their input's only going to make the company better. But on the other hand, this is your baby.
Yes.
You know, this is truly your baby that you have grown for all these years, and you want to serve your customers with a standard of excellence. So, you know, we'll definitely take our time in hiring and making sure we're getting the right people that can grow with us too. So it'll be exciting. It'll be an interesting journey.
I can't wait. So how can people find you?
We are Instagram and Facebook. We're at Austin and Fowler. Website is austinfowler.com, and we're on Pinterest, LinkedIn. I think that's it. So all the places.
Yeah. Stephanie, thank you so much for being on this podcast. So fun to hear how you've grown your company and how you've gotten organized as a professional woman. Just really love talking to you, and I'm glad to have you on the podcast.
Thank you, Lisa. It's been so fun chatting with you.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh, I could talk to you guys forever, and I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.